The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from the city that time forgot, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now, your favorite blacksmith, here's Nate.
Blacksmith, Kareem. Kareem Daniels joins us again. Hi.
Hi. Your favorite blacksmith.
Blacksmith. It's a Land the Time Forgot joke. It's almost time to do new opens for the show.
Could be.
It's been for a while. Never Although know. We had one that ran forever that we never changed, and then I did four of them. I've been rotating them, so either way. Coming up on the show today, we've got some stuff. We're going to break into some southern ways of getting stuff done. An arrest that seems a little extreme, and we're going to revisit the achy, breaky heart.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, we are.
I saw people posting that online, and I was like, I'm just going to avoid this. And
too late.
And then Ted was like, have you seen this? Like, we were in bed, and he had his laptop, and he was like, you have to see this.
Here's the thing about it. And we're going to play it later. There's a lot going on that's going to get played later on. So that'll be coming up later on. So, Kareem, welcome back.
Yay. Thank you.
If you do stand up, if people want to know where you're going to be, what's the best way they can follow you and find out?
On Facebook, it's Kareem J. Daniels. And on Twitter, it's CAD with a K, KAD964. So those two.
There you go. So, and if you get a chance, go out and see Kareem do his stand-up, because it's not only funny, it's really, really smart.
Thank you.
It'll make you go, wait, what? Oh, man, that was really smart. After you stop laughing, of course. Mm-hmm. After the laughter dies. You know who's not smart? Me. I am not smart. And this first thing that I have in my rundown here is titled, Nate's an Asshole. Because I fucking fell for it, and I was so angry with myself. So, you know, people post stuff on Facebook and then you just share it because it's like, oh, that seems kind of cool.
Yeah,
I did that, and I hate it when people do that. And I was drawn in by this headline: Pepsi to reintroduce limited edition Crystal Pepsi in early 2014. I'm like, all right, because I like Crystal Pepsi. And our friend Michaela was very excited as well, because she enjoyed the Crystal Pepsi as well, except for the fact that the website WallStreetSentinel.com, not an actual news website. So they wrote this up. And the problem is, it's not written very tongue-in-cheek. There is a hint when you get down later in the article where they have a quote, where the spokesman says, now the novelty associated with anything in the 90s pretty much guarantees we'll sell enough units for us to make some money with it. Which is not really a spokesman-y thing to say, but yeah, I shared it and it seemed weird to me, so I went back and was like, wait a minute, maybe this is not quite right. So 5 minutes later I realized it and corrected myself, but I'm an asshole. And if you go to their about page, it says, the Wall Street Sentinel has been publishing in print and online for more than 240 years, founded by a society of money changers in the early days of the Jefferson administration. Today's Sentinel has come a long way. Despite a short period of inactivity due to an ill-considered editorial position, our take on German economic expansion in the 1930s, we've remained your most reliable news source of record for issues that matter. So, yeah. Then they go to, so it almost sounds real, right? Almost.
I don't know. I feel like, first of all, there's like something crazy happening upstairs.
Yeah, it's neighbors.
It's distracting.
Your neighbors
me.
Moving furniture?
Nah, you never know.
But there's this trend to sort of, I can't tell if people want to be the Onion and they're just failing at
yes.
it because they're not funny, or if they're deliberately trying to write stuff that people will mistake for news and mm-hmm. share. But there's just this like
If it's a Republican satire, party, then yes.
Yeah, like this satire that's not really satire. It just seems like it's put out to trick people, and it gets shared around, and then everybody gets mad and goes, oh, it wasn't real. And I don't know. It's not very fun. I do not enjoy it. I think if you're making fake news, you should make it, like, go all out. Make it funny. Make intelligent humor, you know? Don't just make something that, like, this sounds like it could be legit, but it's not. So joke's on you, asshole.
Well, as a matter of fact, the frequently asked questions, are your news stories 100% accurate? Yes, because they're 100% satirical. Have you ever watched The Colbert Report or read The Onion? If you don't know what satire is, we strongly suggest reading this article. And then they link to something. Question, I'm outraged because I only read the headline and didn't realize it was satire. Answer, okay, well, then you're kind of dumb. Read the whole article. Question, I'm still outraged. Who can I yell at about this? Answer, consider posting your rantings on Facebook so we can avoid reading them. Thanks. Yeah, they're dicks. What tipped me off wasn't that, is they have other stories on the side, and I'm like, the top one was new trend, less than 40% of Obama administration appointees are white males. And I'm like, well, that seems odd. Then new Kmart video streaming service to aggressively acquire original programming, but there's a picture of Angela Lansbury as the thumbnail. I'm like, okay, this seems weird. And then the one that made me know for sure that it was bullshit, panic as NBC Thursday falls to ninth place amongst broadcast networks, because there are not nine broadcast networks. So I'm an asshole. I posted something without checking. I'm sorry.
Oops. And even worse, there's no Crystal Pepsi for you. I apologize.
Yeah, and I apologize to Michaela, too, because I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm an asshole.
Oh, you got her all excited about it?
Well, I posted it, and she immediately commented. She's like, oh, my God, I'm so excited about this. Yeah.
That's sad. I'm sorry, guys.
So I encourage everybody to... I actually tweeted Pepsi. I was like, hey, let's make these dicks wrong.
Right?
And bring back Crystal Pepsi.
They might as well.
They're not going to. But they didn't acknowledge me at all.
What the fuck was Crystal Pepsi? I never had
it. It's just clear Pepsi.
Yeah.
Right? It's just Pepsi without the brown coloring.
Yeah, there was no caramel color in it. So it was it looked like Sprite but tasted sort of like Pepsi. And your look is why it did not catch on.
Okay.
Yeah.
It reminds me, remember that Saturday Night Live spoof that they did right after Crystal Pepsi that was like Crystal Gravy?
Crystal Gravy, yeah.
Yeah, and it just looked all like gooey and clear, like glue or something that they were pouring on like turkey dinners and stuff, and they were like Crystal Gravy. And yeah, I don't know. Something about it just
I'm from
creepy.
The South. You don't joke. Or
there's no joking about gravy.
About gravy?
No, you don't joke or fuck with Pepsi or Coke.
Oh, wait, why? What's in the South?
Huh? They just love we love our soda.
Oh, really? Serious? And seriously. Pepsi and Coke both?
No.
It's no.
Either or.
Oh, you have to choose. You pick a side.
Yeah. And it's not. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The hardcore is like you drink one, you don't drink the other.
Oh, which one are you?
I'm a Pepsi guy.
You're a Pepsi guy.
Yes, my grandmother was and her father was before that.
Ah, it's handed down through the generations, the family loyalties. What about sweet tea? Does that mix in there somehow? Or, like, can you be a tea person or a soda person?
Yeah. It's either or with that. But Coke or Pepsi, you choose.
Yeah. You must choose. Yeah, Crystal Pepsi, they went out and hired Van Halen. This was the song that they used in all their advertising.
Right now.
Yeah, right now you're ready for cola you can see through. Because... Wow. George Bush is president, and we're kind of uptight about stuff, and we're still kind of afraid of Russians because it's 1992.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Crystal Pepsi not coming back. And I'm a dick. But we knew that. I'm not the only dick out there, though. Thank God. Here's a fellow. I did a little right-wing digging this week just because I happened upon some of it. And, a lot of it makes no sense, but why talk about it when I can actually play what this idiot said?
National Black HIV AIDS Awareness Day. Now, what a lot of people don't know...
Hold on. Get ready to see if you know this, Kareem.
And gay activists don't want you to know this, is that HIV AIDS is decimating the black population. Black males are the primary victims or the leading victims of HIV AIDS right now in our culture.
In our culture, does that mean in our country or across the world? I mean, if you incorporate Africa, I'm sure it's true, but...
And he's still wrong.
Yeah, that's I didn't think it was right, but he continued.
I mean, this is black genocide. If you care about black people, and we do, I'm telling you, people, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's the people who do not care about the health of black males that are all for the normalization of homosexuality. If you are for, let me put it bluntly, if you are for the legalization of homosexuality, you are for the acceptability of homosexuality, you are for the normalization of homosexuality, you do not care about black males. You have no compassion in your black heart for black males because they're being decimated by HIV/AIDS. 6% of the population, 44% of HIV/AIDS. So why am I opposed to the normalization of homosexual behavior? Because I love black males. I want...
Yeah.
He loves black males.
The logic there is spooky.
Yeah. Well, for one, it's actually black women who are the highest HIV cases. And the reason isn't because of the normalization of gay people. It's because the men who went to prison and raped other men who brought it home and then had sex with the women. And so actually it's been passed through heterosexual sex, not.
Yeah.
Homosexual sex.
So. And through rape before through that. Rape, prison before rape. That.
Prison rape, yeah.
So, yeah, and you know, in the near future, expect to hear this a lot on the show.
Homosexual behavior, because I love black males. I want black males to live long, prosperous, healthy, disease-free lives.
Yes, because you want them in jail for their free labor.
I think you could just cut off the sound drop at I love black males, I want black males, and just cut it off right now.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to go with I love black males, because I think that's fantastic. Because, I mean, we need something to go with this.
We want more Mexican-Americans, more Orientals, and more Negroes.
It's true. But Pat Robertson, since I was delving into the world of right-wingers, Pat Robertson had some things to say. That made sense. Pat Robertson starting to make sense.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, we had it before. We all agreed Pat Robertson made sense about something. It might have been a
straight... I agreed.
I don't know if you were here for the show. Christiana, Ted, and I all agreed that Pat Robertson made sense about something.
Ted agreed?
Yes. Yeah. Even the craziest people in the world make sense every now and then, like Kanye.
There was a bishop in the Middle Ages there, 1800 something, who added up the dates listed in Genesis, and he came up with the world.
And Pat's talking about creationism.
There ain't no way that's possible.
What dates, you know, are listed?
Anybody that's in the oil business knows that he's drilling down. You drill down 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles underground. You're coming into all these layers that were laid down by the dinosaurs. And we have skeletons of dinosaurs that go back about 1.65 million years. And to say that it all came about in 6,000 years is just nonsense. And I think the time we come off of that stuff and say this isn't possible. And, but, I mean, so there was a Big Bang. So that doesn't mean it came spontaneously. Nobody knows what caused the Big Bang, but I say God did it. God's in charge of all this. God's in control, and he is the author of all life. But we've got to be realistic that the dating of Bishop Usher just doesn't comport with anything that is found in science. And, you know, you can't just totally deny the geological formations that are out there, the rock formations and all the things that go all over the world, especially the bones. And we have found a Pterosaurus rex out there in the Oregon or someplace, I mean, a full skeleton. And that baby was laid down about 65 million years ago. So, I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
Let's not make a joke of ourselves. But yeah. I don't believe in so-called evolution as is currently presented as non-theistic. I believe that God started it all, and he's in charge of all of it. But the fact that you have the progressive evolution under his control, that doesn't hurt my faith at all. But this thing, you know, we just can't be playing this Usher, Bishop Usher, God bless him, rest his soul in peace. He was just off.
So I wasn't sure where you were going with the music. But
well, you're talking about Bishop Usher.
I get it now. So you just can't be playing this Usher.
That's why I had to play Usher. See? Pat Robertson making sense. I find that more frightening than anything. That Pat Robertson's starting to make sense and say logical things.
It's a sign of the apocalypse, I'm sure.
Yes.
Now, Becca, as someone who's studying religion, and the whole thing, how does his description of God controlling the Big Bang and all that, how does that jibe with some of the stuff you've been studying?
Wow, that's a good question. See, I'm in just a soup of world religions this year, and I'm doing a different religion every single month. I'm on my sixth religion in a row, so I have like half a dozen creation myths in my head right now, and they all seem like they have elements of truth, and they all seem like there's parts that are hard to swallow. And
that's what she said.
Wink. Yeah. And so I guess how does that jibe with what I'm studying? It completely depends on the month.
There you go. Can't argue with that. I kind of like the way he sort of tied it in. Like, if I believe in God, and I believe, you know, this idea that you can't go, there is no evolution, but I just disagree. I think God's the one controlling it. Okay. I'll buy that.
I like that.
I think that's pretty logical and reasonable. What's come over Pat Robertson?
I don't know. It's kind of scary. Even the cats have huddled close. They're nervous.
Okay, so I just had to have an excuse to play Little John and Usher.
No,
so
it made the song. It made Pat Robertson's speech much more entertaining.
He does get a little
long-winded.
Yeah,
he's a Southern preacher.
He is, and he's old. You know, bless Pat Robertson. He's getting old, but I like the fact that he's starting to make, because he says a lot of crazy shit. He says more crazy shit than
Kanye. Oh,
he'll
be saying crazy shit tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. But I always say this. I say you have to, every now and then, listen to people who you don't necessarily agree with, because
oil is dinosaur blood.
It's not dinosaur blood. No, it is not.
Oil is dried up dinosaur blood.
Well,
that's all that's left over to dinosaurs.
He's not blood. He's not a scientist.
He's a
So Kareem, when you were young and you were going to church in the South, I'm assuming you were going to church in the South.
That's mandatory.
Yeah. And like, how long is Sunday services? How long are you hanging out?
Depends on who's preaching.
And what denomination were you raised in?
Southern Baptist.
Southern Baptist.
Yeah. So it depends. Yeah. It depends on who's preaching. Like you sitting there, you're like, who's preaching this week? And it was like Reverend such and such. Like, oh, fuck. We're going to be here all day. This motherfucker does not know how to shut up.
Oh, man.
And you're sitting in a service like that. And every time you think he's about to stop, and he comes up with something else. And you're like, come on, man. The football game is on. I got to pee or something. And you have to sit through the whole service.
Oh, and Nate, when you were growing up with Catholicism, was it a nice orderly service, or did it sprawl sometimes like that?
Oh,
too?
It sprawled sometimes. I mean, it was the same thing, because you've got the sermon in the middle. You've got your stuff. You've got your prelude. You've got your lead up. You've got your sermon, and then you've got communion and the trail off at the end. So the sermon can, I mean, there were priests that would go on for like 20 minutes, and that would round it out. So they would take the full hour, because they're like, you know what? It's an hour, and I'm taking the whole thing. And there are others who would, and you know, normally you have a parish priest. You have a parish priest, and that's who you have every week, unless he's got a vacation or has been moved somewhere, whatever is going on. But every now and then you get a visiting one, and the visiting one would come in and be like, I don't know how Father so-and-so does it, but, I know you guys have other things that you want to do, so I'm gonna keep this brief. I'm going to talk about boom, bada-boom, bada-boom, and he'd do, like, you know, 5 to 7 minutes. Boom, you're out of there in, like, 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's a 5 to 7 minutes. That's a prayer.
I know, right? Yeah,
that is somebody praying 5 to 7 minutes. That's a short prayer in the black church.
So, there were priests that would get you out of there in 35 to 40 minutes, and there are others that would take the full hour. The other thing that would vary how long the service is how many old people are taking communion. Because if there's a lot of old people in church, it's going to be a lot of slow shuffling up to take communion. And it's not just the taking of the communion, because they it's not because like people who are younger, they take communion, they take a step to the side, they're gone, you're moving on, the line keeps going. Old people, they take it and they eat it there in front of the priest, and then they slowly turn.
Yeah, but y'all at least getting up and exercising.
That is the only thing, yes.
Unless you catch the Holy Ghost, and that's a different thing.
So yeah, it does. It varies wildly.
10 to 2.
10 to 2, that's how long? 4 hours?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, is there a break? Is there lunch or something at that? No.
Is there a lunch?
Well, I didn't know, you know?
No.
No. Yeah.
It's a test of wills.
Well, no, I've been studying Mormonism this month, and, you know, they have a really long Sunday, but there is, you know, I think there's a meal at some point, and, you know, that's part of the whole Sabbath.
Yeah, no, that's praying, preaching, dancing, collecting. Because there are three collections. Yeah, is there two or three collections?
Where's the singing go in?
The singing is all throughout.
The whole thing, yeah.
Throughout the...
So I am to believe all of those movies I've seen?
Yeah,
okay.
It happens. They sing. You got the choir coming in. You got the usher board. You got all that stuff going on.
So multiple collections. So you know, you think how much you're going
to... You have to bring chains and you have to bring green.
Ah.
So you have to bring chains when the plate comes around.
Okay.
And then you have to have cash to put on the table when you walk around.
Oh.
Yeah. Because people be watching to make sure you're putting money on the table.
And they're judging you.
And they're judging, yeah.
Wow.
Because that's what church is really about.
That is it. Like the people that catch the Holy Ghost, it depends on who caught the Holy Ghost or who else catches it.
Wait, I don't know what that is. I mean, I know what the Holy Ghost is, but what does it mean to catch it like contagiously? Sorry, I didn't say it right.
No, yeah. It's okay. It was funny
so
that
when
way.
People use, people be shouting in church.
Oh, huh.
Actually, if you trace it back to black people, it actually comes from Africa, mm-hmm. which is being mounted by the spirit,
mm-hmm.
Which is like voodoo, Yoruba. That's what
like the orishas and
the orishas and whatnot. So that's really where it comes from.
Okay.
So the spirit takes over you, and then they dance or kind of dance. We'll have to YouTube it.
Yeah.
So
you can
see. But and then you speak in tongues and
stuff. Okay.
Yeah, but it depends on who catches it. So say like if Sister Jenkins over there, she catches it, and Sister Mary over here doesn't necessarily like Sister Jenkins, then Sister Mary might catch the Holy Ghost right after Sister Jenkins.
Ooh.
And then they'll have like a shout off that's not really a shout off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. The politics of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, that is true. I might have to use that, the politics of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, it depends on who catches it and on who else gets it. And then you have to be careful because some people, and I'm going to say that everybody fakes it, but some people do get it, and you got to watch yourself because you might get popped in the eye.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They flail and... Yeah, you don't want to be around if a big person catches it because you might get smacked upside the head. And then they might do one of those dives where they just fall back.
Oh, wow.
You know, what do they call that? The trust fall. Trust fall. Yeah, they do the trust fall.
But you're not expecting it. Wow.
It's a surprise trust fall.
It's a surprise trust fall.
So is there like if you're a person who doesn't ever catch it, is there judgment on you? Like, is there kind of pressure to catch it?
There isn't. Actually, who was it? Either Langston Hughes or Richard Wright wrote about it in his book, Native Son. And his character in it, everybody was catching it. He never caught it.
Mm.
And so he thought God didn't love him or care about him because he never caught it and he waited for it. And then that kind of determined his path as far as the religion went.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, there's a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't ever catch it. And then some people catch it more than they should.
I don't know. The Holy Ghost sounds really passive aggressive to me.
Yeah.
A lot of the times. I don't know.
It's like speak out.
Or just really aggressive. Yeah, just really aggressive.
It's like being taken over by the spirit.
So the spirit to run for office is something too. Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live. You remember her?
I do remember her. Yeah.
Well, she wrote on her website, victoriajackson.com. I pulled papers for the Williamson County Commissioner position, District 2. This is my first time running for office. I want to be an example to other moms and regular folk to get involved in their local government. It's the only way we will save America. And then she posts a link to the Tennessean. Becca, were you just attacked by the Holy Spirit? Did you catch the Holy Spirit there, or was it my cat?
It was your cat. And I guess there was like a little spot of skin exposed between my sweater and my belt. And he just like put a claw in it. And it was very surprising.
Ouch.
Yeah.
She continues, I've just become an empty nester. So I have time between acting jobs to get involved. I'm doing stand-up comedy with Joe Piscopo and Father Guido Sarducci. That'll be great. And shooting a movie in Louisiana in May. I was recently at the Tennessee Capitol supporting House Bill 1129, which would require schools to teach the Constitution, the Declaration, our founding documents, and Americans whose achievements have helped make the world. Yes, it's shocking that our schools are not teaching this anymore. I'm against Common Core, which is bribed into existence. States took federal money in exchange for promising to implement a program which they had not seen, had not voted on, and had not ever been tried. Common Core, one, dumbs down students. Two, gathers data, a database full of personal information on the parents which could be used against political dissidents. Three, Common Core textbooks contain pro-socialist, pro-communist, pro-Islamic, and pro-racist propaganda and sexually explicit and inappropriate content, i.e. how to masturbate. See article here. This is unacceptable. Common Core is the beginning of the federal control of our children. Go to parentalrights.org and stopcommoncore.com. And she goes on to list other things she's afraid of.
I mean, it's been a while, granted, since I've been in a public school, but I definitely remember studying the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, Americans who have made a difference in the world, and I don't remember ever studying masturbation in school. So has school changed fundamentally?
I audited masturbation. I didn't.
You didn't take it for credit?
I didn't have to take it for credit. I just audited, did it on my own. I did a lot of work from home. So I don't know. It is in Tennessee, and I don't know what the schools are like in Tennessee. They maybe.
I'm pretty sure that they. It's Tennessee. Look, we were just talking about the Bible bet. They're not teaching masturbation in school in Tennessee.
I'm sure they're teaching the Constitution and great Americans. Like, who isn't teaching that, you know? I mean, that seems pretty basic.
Well, it depends on who you consider a great American.
This is true.
That could be it. That could be her rub.
That could be her issue.
Yeah, because she might not consider, you know, FDR and John F. Kennedy to be great Americans, whereas other people might.
Yes.
If you haven't gathered, Victoria Jackson is a Tea Party member. She's nuts. She is just straight up batshit crazy.
Cocoa puffs.
Yeah, she is nutty. If you're wondering why she's in Tennessee, she said she moved to Tennessee to follow her children and grandchild. She said, my son-in-law is a pastor, my daughter is a writer, and my college daughter attends a local university. Nashville has my two favorite things, Jesus and show business.
Wow.
My husband retires this year from the Metro Dade Police Department of Miami, Florida, where he was a SWAT and police helicopter pilot for 35 years. Jesus, that's crazy.
That sounds scary.
I know. I'm waiting for when we hear of her untimely demise because she made him insane and he just snapped.
Oh, because he just came home.
Yeah, because he's been in Miami and she's in Florida where Jesus and show business live. And doesn't Jesus live everywhere, though?
Yeah, but maybe more so in Nashville.
He has a house there.
He likes country music. Come on.
He has a house there. He squats everywhere else.
I just read this article in the New York Times. I think it was today's because there's a new movie about Jesus coming out, and they were talking about like casting Jesus in Hollywood movies and how to find like just the right guy, because he has to be like really like somber and, you know, pious, but he also has to be kind of like hunky but not too hunky, and, you know,
they're gonna make him white again probably.
Yeah, he totally is in this movie. I think he's actually, oh shoot, what is he? I want to say he's Portuguese or something. So he has like just like a teeny, teeny ethnic twinge, but still like really light skinned and, yeah, you know, long, long flowing hair.
Like I saw the preview for the movie Noah
Yes.
This weekend. And I was like, wow, who knew that took place in Europe?
Australia, mate.
It was like watching the opening scene from Gladiator.
It looks awful too, by the way.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer and I just leaned over and I said,
or King Arthur.
Yeah.
That movie what's his name? The newest King Arthur.
There's a new one coming out? Or?
No, the last one that was done.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's like watching that. The beginning part of, yeah, watching the credits for that. It's like, okay.
I was just like, I know how this ends. I am not interested.
Yeah. Ted taught me this song that he learned in Sunday school about Noah's Ark, and the animals all go on to by twosies, twosies. And then when they come off, it's by threesies, threesies. And I'm like,
it's not this song?
No, it's not. But I just wondered, like, does that mean that every pair of animals mated and had one baby?
Yes, that's exactly what that means. And that one baby went out and furiously masturbated because every other baby was dead. Because if you buy Noah's Ark, the only living beings that survived were the ones on the Ark.
Right.
So everything is inbred.
Which means that we are the descendants of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And not Noah Wiley either.
Yeah. Which would be odd. Everybody who was conceived by Adam and Eve and their children and that incest died.
Everybody died except for
everybody
Noah.
Died. Yeah, it's best if you don't think too much about the Bible.
Yeah, it's hard.
Do not apply logic to the Bible because it's not about that.
That's actually how Ted and I became friends, because I had a life goal to just read the Bible cover to cover, and I got so stuck in thinking about all of it, and he was like, when I knew that he had at least studied the first 5 books of the Bible, and so I would sort of be like, will you please meet me at Starbucks? And we only knew each other through comedy. Like, can we meet at Starbucks and can you please explain the story of Lot to me? And he was like, I probably can't, but I'll meet you at Starbucks. And now we're dating.
Yeah, this was Ted's inner monologue. Maybe this will lead to a blowjob.
And it did. I mean, not immediately. It wasn't like, well, I can't explain the Bible to you. Let's go to bed.
Not in Starbucks itself.
No.
It was later on.
No, it took a while.
Did you ever understand the story of Lot?
Well, the part where, after all the stuff happens with the destruction of the city, and then he's in a cave with his daughters, and
spoiler alert,
and his daughters get him drunk and have sex with him so they can have babies.
Sure, as you do.
And Lot is excused from all of this because he was drunk and he didn't know what he was doing. But it kind of makes you wonder of all the stories, like what is this story teaching us? What are we to learn from it? I don't know. It's really confusing. I've never really got significance out of it.
Don't drink with your kids.
I guess that's one thing.
Do not drink with your kids.
But the other part of the part of the story is, because I'm working on a bit about this, is the fact that the angels, that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, not because they were having homosexual sex, was because they wanted to rape the angels.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And he wasn't mad because they wanted to have sex with him, because they wanted to rape him, and they were being bad hosts by doing that. So that means you can't rape people that come to your house, or God will bring down the wrath.
It's true. And then he was like, here, take my daughters instead. Like, don't rape the angels. Take my daughter.
Yeah, that's right. If you're going to go raping, you bring that out. You don't rape the people that come to you. You need to make the effort and go out. Go forth and rape.
Yes.
Otherwise, God will be very angry with you.
The Bible is so confusing, guys. That's why I'm going to school, trying to figure this stuff out.
Now, Virginia is also in the South, and about an hour's drive south of Richmond, there's a small congregation that doesn't care about material things. They worship the same way we were all brought into this world. Naked. Even in February, when temperatures can average in the 20s, members show up in various forms, some fully clothed, others topless, many still completely nude. Pastor Alan Parker says it's not about the clothes or lack thereof. He says it's about bearing his soul to Christ and leading the flock down the path of righteousness, no matter what they're wearing. Every Sunday, the front few rows of the White Tail Chapel. That's right, the White Tail Chapel.
Wink.
That's all that's there.
You'll find Katie and Robert Church. Now, Katie wasn't a nudist when they first met, but quickly fell in love with Robert and the resort. See, it's a nudist colony. They married at the Whitetail Chapel and say the church has given them a sense of Christian community with none of the pretense of a traditional church. She said, once we were married and we were here, this whole place became our family. We feel like we can turn to anyone in this church or even in this park, and they'll be there to help us.
Yeah, you don't want to be around anybody catching the Holy Ghost in there.
No. Anything can flop anywhere.
Her husband said people are more open as far as hearing the word of God and speaking the word of God. If you think anyone here finds church attendance titillating, you'd be wrong. All you have to do is see the pastor to know that. No, they didn't say that, but it's true.
No.
They're here to find inner peace, and Pastor Parker believes that starts with accepting themselves. There's not a feeling that you have to be better than one another physically. We're humans. We have scars. We have what we have. It's all about learning love and accepting that.
So this is reminding me of when I went to school at UC Santa Cruz in college, and I was spiritually curious even back then, and I went to this thing called the Goddess Festival, which was held at a community college in the Santa Cruz area, and they were going to have like this like a Wiccan ritual for women only. And it was held in like a portable classroom, like a fluorescent lit portable classroom with like the desk just sort of moved to the side. And then like women were supposed to sort of gather in a circle in the center. And I don't even know what the ritual was for. I'd never been to something like this before. And I didn't know anyone there. And I went in and women totally started taking their clothes off. Like, we're going to be sky clad, but it's like in a portable classroom. Like, I guess sky clad is like the Wiccan word for nature or for naked, but that makes sense if you're outdoors, like in the woods. But we're like, you know, we're at Cabrillo College, like in this classroom. And so ladies start taking off their clothes and I'm like, oh my God, because I just walked in. I don't even know what's happening, but not everybody takes their clothes off. So I kept my clothes on. And it was like, okay, well, we're going to start this ritual now. We're going to call in, like, invoke goddesses, and this stuff is going to happen. And then this woman showed up, and she had this little 4-year-old boy with her that was her son. And she didn't have, like, childcare or whatever, and she wanted to be in this ritual. So she was like, can my son just participate, or can he sit in the corner or whatever? And this, like, fierce debate ensued where people were like, his male energy is going to throw off, like, the circle and blah, blah. And it was so awkward, and I ended up just leaving. I don't even know what they decided. But I'm thinking, that poor kid, like, can you imagine being 4 years old and, like, drug into a classroom of naked women that are all arguing over whether your, like, male energy is, like, too potent to have a ritual around?
He's gay now.
I think so. He probably doesn't want anything to do with women.
You can argue nature or nurture, but if you get a group of naked women giving you that much shit at that young an age, you're like, I don't want anything to do with this ever again.
Right. So that was like my entire exploration into Wicca. That was pretty much it.
Yeah, well, at the time, until they start talking crap about him. But yeah, that's...
So nakedness and spiritual rituals, I don't know.
Well, to be fair, the church is at a nudist colony, so it kind of does make sense. But yeah, the Whitetail Resort, I saw a news story about it. No, Kareem, I did not see any black people there. Shockingly.
No.
because
then it wouldn't be a nudist colony, because they would be like, put your pants on. You are not shaming us. Put your pants on.
There's one stereotype Kareem can get behind.
That's it. They're like, no.
The Nate Darling Show.
That's why we got all these angry white men.
Or Tool.
Whoa. All right, first up in Cooler Tool, Pat Robertson. Kareem?
Wow, actually, I think I might throw up for saying he was actually cool for saying what he said.
Yeah, Becca?
Oh, Tool.
Sorry, Pat Robertson. Cool. He's making sense.
Okay, I'm now going to remember this. Christiana and Ted, I don't know where you are, but this is the day that I got voted down on Cooler Tool on Pat Robertson.
Yeah, and you know what? I think if Christiana were here, she'd agree with us.
Oh, no.
She's nothing if not reasonable. Anyway, up next, women in politics. Women in politics, Becca.
Cool.
Kareem?
Women in politics, cool. This particular woman, cool.
Yeah, she's nutty as squirrel turds. So, yeah. Can we just have smart people in politics, please?
That's a nice idea.
Isn't it?
We don't... Smart and ethical?
That might be asking too much.
Sense.
Yeah. Yeah, just that. And finally, in Cooler Tool... Naked church. Naked church. Kareem, what do you think?
So as long as they're not catching the Holy Ghost.
Becca?
Even though I just kind of crapped all over it, I'm still going to say cool. Like, go for it. Go to church. Do what you will.
Yeah, they're cool. They're fine. You know who's Tool? The fucking TV station who rolled out there to shoot Pastor Nude Bob. We don't need to see Nude Bob in our nightmares.
Did they show him? Was he like in front of a podium? So it was all cool?
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't shoot his religious junk or anything.
Well, I just didn't know if they put like a censored bar or if they blurred
everybody out.
Yeah. they shot from the waist up and they blurred things they needed to blur. But yeah. So that's what
the woman had part of her boob out and they like blurred that.
Well, yeah. Because a nipple. Oh, my God. Yeah. Like in California and other places, if you go to a strip club, for instance, you can't serve alcohol if there's full nudity. If you have alcohol, you can only be topless, which begs the question, Becca, have you ever, just to stick it to the man, had a beer while completely nude?
Like no particular time is coming to mind, but I'm sure I've probably sipped alcohol without clothes on at some point, but I don't think it was to stick it to the man.
Well, I think you should now.
It was get with a man.
I'm advocating for this completely and wholeheartedly. I think women across the state should start drinking naked just to put an end to this oppression.
Well, is the trouble with the women and the booze, or is it what the men will do if there's women and booze?
Well, that's the theory. But if you think that thin sequin thong is going to stop anything, if something were going to happen from, you know, what's going to stop something? The large bouncer is what's going to stop it.
Right.
Not that thin piece of fabric.
No, come on. That all the morality, all of the safety happens in that one thong.
Yeah. You know what? Alcohol and labia cannot be in the same ether. They can't.
But y'all can do whatever y'all want to. We already had this conversation. Strip club. Women lose their mind.
They do. And it's a party for them.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
And well, mostly because the male dancers don't feel threatened or you know, completely icked out or anything like that. So this came out this past week. We mentioned it earlier. It's a new song by Buck22, who is a rap artist and the son of Dionne Warwick.
I didn't know that part.
Oh yes,
I didn't know that.
His dad is a musician of some sort. He's not as famous as Dionne Warwick, but he comes from a musical background, and he's decided to make Achy Breaky Number 2. And not only did he sample Billy Ray Cyrus, he hired Billy Ray Cyrus for the video and for the song. So, come on, play. You know you want to play.
It doesn't want to play.
Here we go.
Ah.
It's got whistling.
Sound about right.
The best part, actually.
How this shit happened?
Let me tell you, B.I.C. It happened because I happened to meet up with Billy Cyrus. It happened because I rang the alarm and broke the silence. It happened because I'm sipping on that good Kentucky whiskey. It happened because I'd rather be lucky than good.
Kareem, so far, how you liking it?
I was going to say something about the Huckleberry Finn inspired beginning of the video.
The beginning of the video with Larry King and all, and then like, yeah.
It's so Huckleberry random. Finn goes to space.
Yeah.
Because they get beamed up to space.
Like, why does he have a black kid with a fishing pole? What is Billy Ray doing out in the woods with a black kid fishing?
Listen, right?
This is Buck22's deal. Billy Ray is just along for the ride on this whole thing.
Yeah.
So, you really have to see the video.
The video is crazy. Yeah, it starts with Larry King making a sort of improvised, like, alert that a UFO from Europe has landed in Kentucky, home of Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, it makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
It's very odd. And then I felt kind of uncomfortable. Like, there's a part in the song where he says something about Miley's twerking, and they show, and it's like Billy Ray Cyrus is there, and they're showing like models with kind of their naked butts twerking and all this. And I'm like, that's your daughter? I don't know. It was just weird. Like, well, he's like, yeah.
He did say wrecking ball.
Actually, yeah, he does. Here it comes.
That crazy hook again. Wrecking ball.
Right there. By the way, that's going to be making it into the show, too.
I think the funniest thing was the article that I read about this. They interviewed Billy Ray Cyrus, and he was saying how all these people had approached him over the years about redoing the song, but like he had to wait until something like just the right thing came along, you know, and this was it, apparently.
Yeah. Hey. I actually didn't hate it.
It grew on me. It yeah. really did. Honestly, the first time I heard it, I'm like, this sucks. And then I'm like, I have to see it again. Yeah. And then I watched it again. And again, I've watched this video about 8 times.
Oh, wow. I've only seen it once.
He can't hear the song without seeing the girl twerking.
I've only seen it once, and I have to admit that it sounds better than it looks. Like, the video is so distractingly bizarre.
Yeah.
And, like, the sound... I can totally see how this will be one of... That's kind of how I feel about almost every Black Eyed Peas song. The first time I hear it, I'm like, what is this? This is terrible. And then you hear it like 30 times, and then you're like, this song is great. This is my party jam. Like, I could totally see it becoming one of those things.
Yeah. Now, this is the original Billy Ray Cyrus song. I don't know if he wrote it, but this is the original song.
The line dance classic. Two-step classic.
And I think we forget, because I know I did, how huge this was. This was everywhere. This was on like 6 different formats of radio. It was on everything but the urban station, which we didn't have in Vermont because we don't have black people. This was everywhere. And that leads to covers of the same song. Let's see if you can identify this American Idol sensation doing a cover.
I don't think I know any American Idol sensations except Kelly Clarkson. It's probably not going to be her.
Well, I'd be doing air quotes over sensation.
Oh, William Hung.
Yes. I'm gone. Oh, you can't tell your friends just what a fool I've been and laugh and joke about me on the phone. You can't tell my arms go back onto the phone. You can't tell my feet to hit the floor. I can't go too much longer, but then it went to like kids stuff. This, yeah, Veggie Tales from their
Veggie
album
Tales.
Bob and Larry Go Country. You can tell the world you never was my girl.
You can burn my pictures when I'm gone. So these are sad Christian vegetables singing a love song.
Well, I don't know where you get that they're Christian vegetables.
Are Veggie Tales Christian?
I have no idea.
I thought maybe they were. Well, anyway, they're vegetables that have been spurned in love.
And you know what's really funny is they're a tomato and a cucumber, which are the two vegetables that I eat. So there you go. But it's not just vegetables that fell in love with it. It's people that speak a different language and translated it into their own. I'm sad Christian is not here to hear this. Si quebras poco más, mi pobre corazón, me harás mil pedazos, quiérelo. And there it kicks in. So it's in foreign languages. It's by people who attempt to do it in English, but English is not their first language. This is from Siggy. You can tell the world, you never was my girl. You can burn my clothes up and I'm gone. The album is called Donka with an exclamation point. It was also translated into other languages that have umlauts over them. This is Robert Steubel, Steubl. The album is called A Fireman's Life because, sure. It's catchy in any language.
It is.
There's more. I have more. They all sound the same to begin with until the singing starts.
I feel like we're like at some international karaoke night that only has one track.
I think it's like the International House of Achy Breaky is what's going on. I don't know why Scandinavian people seem to enjoy it so much, but they do. There are more versions, because of course there are.
Wow.
I believe that's my favorite start to any of them.
It's definitely the best start.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear that again. It's the party dance version. You get the idea. Let's hear it in French. Hold on. This is the Achy Breaky Dance by Steph Kars. Hey. This is what the world thinks of us.
Oh my gosh. I kind of like this one because it's got like, French is kind of like a sensitive language, but with like the country swagger. I dig it.
And I'm sure you would dig Steph. He's posing shirtless with only a vest, jeans, and a cowboy hat.
Nice.
And he is very buff and hairless.
That was about how gay people dressed when the song came out.
Okay, enough of that. Oh, okay. So, yeah, the achy breaky heart was a huge sensation in the 90s. So, in case you've forgotten, I wonder if it'll happen again. I wonder if it'll be all these bucked. No, there won't be.
Oh, there could be. There could be.
Anything is possible. I mean, really.
I feel like whenever there's a pop song that's kind of stupid and people kind of don't like it, it ends up becoming ubiquitous.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's the achy breaky segment. So if you're still listening, congratulations and thank you. I just had to share that with people. South Carolina is a very odd place. Kareem, have you been there?
Yes.
Okay. We get a lot of stories from there that are just weird, like the woman who stabbed her husband with a ceramic squirrel. That was South Carolina. Well, now a South Carolina woman told cops that her husband's girlfriend assaulted her after she walked into a bedroom and discovered the pair naked, smoking pot, drinking liquor, and having anal sex. That's according to the police report.
All at the same time.
Sure. They're busy. Pamela Lynn Turney, who's 49, told cops that she...
multitasking.
Right. That she entered her spouse, Christopher Spartanburg's home through an unlocked door around 10 p.m. on a Saturday evening. She said that she was calling out for Chris. She heard him and continued walking through the house until she reached his bedroom. But when Turney reached the boudoir, she was met by an unsettling sight. Her husband, from whom she is apparently estranged, and Vicky Lynn Morgan, who's 38, they were, quote, both naked, smoking pot, drinking liquor, and having sex. The Spartanburg County Sheriff's Office does not specify whether the pair was engaging in these activities simultaneously. So
it actually says that.
Well, they don't say whether they are. But the smoking gun had the same question you did. The woman told deputies that when Morgan spotted her, she, quote, jumped from the bed and attacked her, as you would do if you've been drinking, smoking pot, and having anal sex.
With someone's husband.
Sure.
Yeah, that sounds like a Southern thing.
She said that she was knocked to the ground three times before she was able to flee the residence. She reported the confrontation the following morning because, you know, it's late. Had a black eye and bruising on her forehead and her cheek when she was examined by the cops. The alleged assault by Morgan remains under investigation by sheriff's deputies. Morgan was arrested last February for assault and battery. That's according to jail reports. So
were they having anal sex when she walked in?
You would have to think so, because I don't know how else you would know they were doing it unless they were actually engaged in it. I mean, I suppose there could be markings of such, but Becca just made the best face ever.
It was an ew face.
Yeah, it would
priceless.
Be. It's one of those things. So, yeah, the lesson to be taken away from here is if you happen to walk in on your significant other having anal sex, slowly back away because you never know what could happen.
I think that would be a situation that you would get out slow.
That slow cartoon walk away.
Not just,
Becca's now visualizing this all. She's got a movie playing in her head in IMAX 3D.
I feel like there's a lesson before all of that, which has something to do with life choices and not being likely to be in the same house with your estranged husband and his new lady, you know? I don't know.
I do know, but it's South Carolina and things are different there.
Oh, I don't think it's South Carolina. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff like that that goes on all over the place, but I don't know. Yeah.
Well,
hey, they have swingers up in El Dorado Hills.
Mm-hmm. But a South Carolina woman was arrested last Thursday for an even more egregious crime, for keeping a home video of Monster-in-Law 9 years after it was due back at the video store. That's right. Kayla Michelle Finley was taken into custody when she attempted to report a crime at the local police station and learned that she had committed a crime of her own, depriving other renters at a now defunct video store the opportunity to see J-Lo and Jane Fonda get into an incredibly uncomfortable slapping match and then yell at each other and yell at each other a little and wear hats. So there you go.
So there's still video stores around to press charges for something like this?
No, they went out of business. Finley maintains that she didn't get the notices that the video store sent her. Sure. Nor the warrant that they put out for her arrest in 2005.
So you can arrest someone for not returning a video? Like, I mean, I would assume you call collections on them or you charge their credit card $80 or something, but you can try to arrest someone?
That's a thing in the South where they're like a debtor's prison.
Mm-hmm.
Is that legal?
That's what they've been doing. I've actually been read about this in the last couple of years where they're doing that. So people that have the rental companies where you can rent furniture and that stuff.
Yeah.
So they're people that don't pay their charges and stuff. So they're trying to have those people arrested.
Wow.
Remember, jail is big business.
Yeah. Yeah. But also the whole I rented a movie and there it is sitting on my coffee table, but I didn't get any notices, so I had no idea I was supposed to return it. Like, that's not a legit excuse.
It's not, but once the video store has been out of business, it's like, where do I bring it back? No information has been uncovered about whether Finley still has the video cassette in her possession. Because most video stores are now relics of a forgotten age, Fox 5 News, it says here, talk to the streets, T-O-K. I'm going to guess that's a typo, Jezebel, to ask Redbox viewers what they thought of the arrest. The responses range from a confused jail to, don't we have anything else to worry about? Yes, the fact that Redbox prices keep going up. Because in 2014, it costs all of $1.50 to rent a Blu-ray for a day at Redbox. Kareem, do you remember you and I are about the same age. Remember when video stores first started, how much it was to rent a video? It was expensive. It was like $5-6 a night.
Yeah.
And like where I was from, it was just this one store, New England Video, and you had to be a member and pay a yearly membership fee for the right to pay $6 a night to rent a video cassette. Yeah. And now everybody's like, and that was when $5 would be equated to at least like $8 or $9 now. And people are going like, oh my God, I can't believe it costs $1.50 to rent at Redbox.
Yeah. And back then, like a legitimate movie in the theater was $5 or $6, you know, it wasn't that, I mean, it was almost on par with those prices.
Yeah. But you could watch it with your whole family. It was the whole family for $5.
Right. I'm just saying now Redbox, you know, now it costs a ton of money to go to the movies and it's still only $1.50 for a Redbox, you know. Yeah. I mean, it seems like even more of a bargain.
It is, but I do love the complaint level that people have. So it I just found it amusing. But yeah, the South is a very different place as people keep telling me. That's why I've been to Memphis a couple of times, but I haven't really spent time in the South and I don't know that I necessarily want to.
I really like it, but I've always just been kind of on road trips or driving through or seeing cool stuff. I haven't really lived there in any way to know the culture that much, but I've had a wonderful time every time I've gone to that area of the country.
Look, I've seen my cousin Vinny enough to know that I'm not wanted around there.
You'd do okay.
Well, I blend, so I'd be fine.
Well, if any of us win the lottery in the next month, we can all go to WrestleMania in New Orleans.
That's probably not going to happen.
It could happen.
Yeah, New Orleans is very different. That's tourist
town.
New
Orleans is a totally different.
Yeah, place. Yeah, that's cosmopolitan South.
It's a different period.
Yeah,
remember it was owned by the French.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Quebec, but hotter.
Actually, New Orleans wasn't racist like it is before it became a part of the United States.
That's because we're terrible.
Interesting.
Yeah, there was interracial marriage and whatnot,
and voodoo.
In New Orleans before
they, still
they became
voodoo.
A part of the United States, and then once they became a part of the United States, then it became outlaw.
Oh. Mm.
Now here's an interesting story, because we're hearing the music for Florida Corner. Well, last Monday, a woman was responsible for clearing out a nightclub after accidentally spraying herself with pepper spray instead of deodorant.
Oh. Ooh.
Now, some would consider that an honest mistake, but if you're spending your Monday nights at a nightclub, it could be a sign that you've been partying just a bit too much. According to the local newspaper, the unidentified 20-year-old woman allegedly ran into the bathroom with a friend for a moment at the club to freshen up. When she reached into her friend's purse to borrow the spray-on deodorant, she accidentally grabbed the pepper spray by mistake and, without checking the label, immediately applied it to her armpits. Can't even imagine how much that would burn.
Oh.
The pepper spray was strong enough to disperse small crowds, so you can imagine how much it burned her armpits. It probably felt kind of bad. The pepper spray quickly spread throughout the nightclub, and the staff was forced to shut down, evacuating the entire club. Everyone was fine except for the two women, who were given medical treatment after sustaining eye injuries. Now, police are investigating the incident. It isn't known yet if the woman will be charged with negligent bodily harm or not. Could have been worse. It could have been breath spray. That sounds like Florida.
Oh, gosh.
Sounds like Florida, right?
It's not.
It's not Florida.
But we're hearing Creedence Clearwater.
It's Germany.
Oh, wow.
The Florida of Europe.
Wow.
I played the little game on you. Adam Carolla plays a game called Germany or Florida, where they obscure where it's from and you have to guess. That would totally be a Florida story. So that's why it's in Florida Corner. This one actually is from Florida. Valentine's Day was a week ago, and it can be expensive to go out for Valentine's Day if you don't have a lot of money.
It's true.
Can spend a lot. But one business decided to find a way to make it more economical to spend Valentine's Day.
When you think of special places to enjoy a Valentine's Day dinner, McDonald's probably isn't top on the list.
So it is now.
Yes, it
is. Now. New at 10 o'clock tonight. Fox 13 photojournalist Corey Beckman shows you why enjoying a Big Mac has never been more enjoyable.
We're at McDonald's in 6717 North Del Mary, and we're having our first annual Valentine's Day.
McDonald's.
Wow. McDonald's? Really? We're looking at our reservation list. They're already getting seated and being served.
But I want Coke.
All right, one Coke.
We want everybody to think of, you know, that day at McDonald's for Valentine's was one of the best Valentines of my life.
Hey, cheeseburger.
How you doing?
Good.
Want me this way?
The dress that they're...
Is there any way that you would think your Valentine's Day at McDonald's was the best day of your life?
I don't know. I think it's kind of sweet.
How bad is your life if that's the best day? I mean...
Well, if you're 12 or 15,
yeah,
you don't have no money to take her out.
That is true, but I saw a lot of people that were older than that.
Wearing it just catches your eye.
There was a guy that took his daughter.
They don't need to go somewhere that the plate is extremely expensive. Maybe all they need is a Happy Meal.
So what are you going to have for your Valentine's dinner?
Yeah, if you're going to bring your 5-year-old, then yeah.
That was cute.
It is cute.
And honestly, as much as I'm going to give it crap, I think it's actually a really good idea, because there is a lot of pressure. And if you're a teenager, you may not have that much money. Or even if you're not a teenager, even if you're like, if you're somebody who is just out of school and you've got a pile of student loans, but you want to go out and celebrate, it's still McDonald's. It's still very brightly lit because someone will be by to rob it later. And it's not going to have that same ambiance, but at least you can go out. They decorated it up with roses and it had that sort of feel to it. And yeah, it was kind of a cool thing.
I think that's sweet. If you're a family, you're on a budget, your kids are picky eaters, whatever.
Don't bring your kids out for Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is for lovers, not what results from the love.
Oh,
that's true. That's true. You don't. You, no, don't bring the kids out for Valentine. That's creepy.
Aww.
It just is. I'm That's sorry.
Like father daughter dance.
Yeah. Yeah. No kids. No.
The
no.
Promise ring.
Yeah. Get a sitter. Find an unpopular girl to sit. I mean, that's really what you got to do with that.
Why not an unpopular guy?
You don't want to trust your kids to a guy.
You
see?
Make a sad point.
Yeah. People don't trust their kids to guys.
A really sad point.
For the most part. So that's that. Hey,
so
did I mention
you can't trust our kids with you, Nate?
I didn't volunteer, so.
Okay.
And that's the other thing. If people don't volunteer, then you probably can trust them with your kids. It's the people who are like, no, I'll watch your kids. I'll watch you. Bring them on over anytime. I love your kids. Those are the ones you watch out for. Because that's a little too much enthusiasm for it. But, hey, did I mention Amazon earlier in the show?
Maybe not this show.
Not okay. This show.
So because the show's free. We do two free Nate Darling shows a week. We do a free Well Hung podcast, too. So it's free shows, Monday, Wednesday, Friday for you. What do we ask in return? Very little, really. Just tell a friend if you like the show. Go, hey, I listen to this show, and it's fun to listen to because they're cool and they're funny and they do things that are stupid. Or whatever you think about it. So tell a friend. And if you're going to shop on Amazon anyway, I'm not saying if you're a shop local person, go ahead and shop local. We're cool. But if you're going to buy on Amazon anyway, please go to NateDarlingShow.com first. Click the Shop Amazon tab and then go ahead and shop till your heart's content. It does not cost you a thin dime extra. So, again, free, and it does help out the show. So that's how we keep delivering the show to you for free, because it does cost money to have a website. It does cost money to do what we do here. So we do appreciate all the stuff that you do. So it's time to get to that part of the show where I hit this thing and it does this.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
Oh, man, I blew it. It's no music.
Oh, you were too busy achy breaking.
I know.
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
Yeah, I let you all down, too. I'm sorry. Sorry. Your money back on the show. That's right. This show's free, everybody. It's time for Speak Out in Small Town News. I got a lot of Speak
Yay.
Out this week. Hey, Duck Dynasty pajamas. Give it up, people. Every place you go, someone is either trying to look like Duck Dynasty or forgot how to get dressed in the morning.
I actually like that one. Did you see, I don't know if you noticed, at the supermarkets for the Valentine's Day displays, they had Duck Dynasty, like, heart-shaped candy boxes with the pictures of those guys on there. Like, here you are, honey. Thinking of you.
Everywhere now.
Oh my God, there is not a single department at Walmart that does not have something Duck Dynasty in it.
Exactly.
It's really awkward in the feminine hygiene department.
Right? I think that's a little more awkward than the heart-shaped box of Valentine chocolates with the bearded dudes on it, but yeah.
The Uncle Cy condom is just disturbing.
I agree.
Roll it out. It's got the hair on the outside. It's just strange. It's got a beard. Bearded condom.
Bearded for her pleasure?
You got bearded for her pleasure. Hey, why is the city out with equipment trimming ice from curbs on Bailey Avenue, which is wide, when North Catherine is a horse trail with no shoulder? Parking should be banned on North Catherine. Cars park in the left lane, which reduces the street to one lane coming into Plattsburgh. It's one lane. Get off the highway there. It's a street. Oh. Hey, a group of people have started a Facebook page to complain about things that go on in school. A school where you'll never find a more caring group of people who have your children's best interests at heart. You have way too much time on your hands.
Ooh.
Bob.
Yep.
Hey, it's nice to see a city wants to do something with the Plattsburgh Boat Basin. I feel it should be voted on by the people. They're the ones who pay the taxes. I do urge the city council to make it for everyday use and not seasonal for boating. So get on that, council. Do everything we tell you, but we want to make all the decisions, even though we elected you to make the decisions for us, because we don't understand representative government.
What's a boat basin?
It's a dock.
It's neither a lake nor a pond.
No, it's Lake Champlain.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's just an area where
it's
the boats are.
It's like the marina or something? Oh, okay.
Yeah, sort of like that. It's been a lot in the media about Philomena, based on a true story. Plattsburgh won't show it. Small distribution, they both told me. I saw it in Burlington, where I see many good movies, as Plattsburgh shows over-the-top movies or children's movies.
Ooh.
Yeah, the intellectual... Philomena. Yeah, the smaller intellectual movies don't generally go there.
So then you have to drive to Burlington. How far is that?
Do you take the ferry or do you drive around the lake, Becca?
I don't know.
Because if you take the ferry, it's shorter, but it costs you a lot more because the ferry's expensive.
Oh.
So there you go.
I mean, is it like a real hardship to go to a movie in Burlington?
It's
like
2 hours each way.
Oh, that is a hardship. This person really loves cinema.
Yeah, they do. And they can't wait for, you know, a month and a half till it comes out on video at the Redbox. Hey, Vermont, thank you for passing a cell phone law. Please enforce it. Don't do as New York does and ignore the law. Please save lives. There should be a nationwide cell phone law. When you drive, leave your handheld cell phone alone or pay dearly.
Yeah, they passed that law here, too, and I feel like it's not really enforced.
Oh, no. I see people on their phones all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. You know who's exempt from that? Cops.
They're on their phones all the time.
They are the most. They're exempt from the law. They because they're trained is what it is. Hey, I've noticed more people pulling over to use a cell phone / text. Others simply stop where they are. Curve, crest of a hill, intersections. Why bother stopping at all if you're so oblivious to the potential hazard of indiscriminately balking or impeding traffic?
Bob. That was totally Bob.
It was, absolutely. I saw this one thing that pissed me off, and I'm writing the paper.
Bob.
Well, that's because they don't have a podcast. I mean, anything I see that pisses me off, I got 2.5 hours to fill. And finally, interesting article regarding the mayor's charitable contributions. Funny, no mention of his party affiliation. When a Republican does something positive, his affiliation is not mentioned. Had it been a negative article, you can bet we'd know he ran as a Republican.
Ooh.
By the way, if you don't know what party your mayor is, then you have a problem.
But yes. Plattsburgh is... So the media of Plattsburgh is decidedly liberal?
All media is liberal, Becca. Wake up! You're part of the liberal media elite, and you know it.
I am not elite, but I'm definitely part of the liberal media, considering who I write for. I don't think that all media is like so biased, but I think the media that I write, that I work for, is definitely
pro-weed.
Yeah, like we had to have a discussion today about like, we've probably put too many pot leaves on the cover recently. We should probably take that pot leaf off the cover and put something else on, because you can only put so many pot leaves on the cover in a short period of time. Wow. Like, that was a literal discussion that we were having today at work. So,
you know, the important things are going on when that's your discussion at work. So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thank you again, Kareem Daniels, for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. I had a blast as always.
It's been a slice of heaven, my man. Love it when you come around. Again, if people want to follow you on Twitter, what's the Twitter handle?
It's KAD964.
And Kareem J. Daniels on Facebook.
Yep.
So check out Kareem if you're in the Sacramento area. Just see where he's going to be doing his thing and go check it out, because it'll be well worth your time. I promise you. Or the podcast is free.
Yee.
Damn it. Anyway, have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Don't be sorry. Well Hung podcast on Monday. And we'll be back next Wednesday with another new Nate Darling Show. Until then, enjoy some social distortion.